Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the India Glycols Limited Q3 FY 2023 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks, Ryan. Good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for joining on India Glycols Limited Q3 and nine-month FY 2023 results conference call. We are joined on this call with India Glycols management, represented by Mr. Roopak Saraswat, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Anand Singhal, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Sanjeev Gurwara, President, Marketing, and Mr. Ankur Jain, Head, Legal and Company Secretary. I would like to invite Mr. Roopak Saraswat to initiate this proceeding with his opening remarks, post which we will have a Q&A session. Over to you, sir.
Yeah. Thank you, Sanjesh, and good afternoon each one of you who joined us. A little belated, but a little in advance as far as the financial year is concerned, wishing you all a very happy new year. Now let me quickly take you through a few slides that I've put across and the highlights for the last quarter. As you would have seen, it's been in some ways a good quarter for us if I look at the quarterly results. At a high level, our gross turnover at 1,524 crores, though, is down by 13%. I will comment on it in a moment. Our net turnover at 554 crores, also down by about 30%. However, our EBITDA at 76 crores is up by 23.7%. If you see, the EBITDA margin is also up to 13.6%, you know, up 591 basis points. We've seen a good EBITDA recovery on the back of improved cost and product mix. I will comment in a little while on the drop in turnover, mainly because we've discontinued some low-margin businesses, and I'll explain that in a little bit. If you look at on a YTD for the nine months, our gross turnover at 5,026 crores is up 1.6%. Our net turnover at 2,032 crores is down 8.7%. Our EBITDA at 219 crores is up 13.8%, and EBITDA margin at 13.8% is also up 210 basis points. One of the things you would remember, but I will nevertheless repeat, is that on a like-to-like basis for the comparative prior year, we also had one quarter of sales for the specialty chemicals business, which was made part of the joint venture. Overall, I think it has been good in terms of recovery of EBITDA across sectors led by Nature Biopharma, and I think those are important from the fundamentals of the business point of view. Overall, good recovery for the quarter in terms of EBIT, which is up 32% on a year-on-year basis, though there has been a revenue decline by about 30% in Q3. EBITDA margin is up by 24% for Q3 on a year-on-year basis. Good recovery for nine months on year-on-year basis with EBIT up 17% and revenue, though, is down 8.5%. EBITDA margin up 14% on a year-on-year basis. Now, the revenue is down primarily because we discontinued some low-margin businesses, partly because we made certain operational changes to scale down production and not having to push volumes at low margins. Now, what it means is that for some of our plants, you know, we had to run them at a minimum throughput rate, which are, you know, large continuous plants. Now, given the pressure that we had on feedstock prices and energy prices, et cetera, it took us some time to make some changes so that we could actually significantly scale it down. Some of the volumes which we had to sell at lower margins is no more being done. I think that is one of the reasons why or the most significant reasons why our volumes are down. Also there is an impact of the business, as I said, for one quarter, which was transferred to the joint venture, whose volumes were part of the revenue for Q1 of prior year for comparison. I can say that as far as Q3 is concerned, there is excellent margin recovery across sectors. You know, so it is EBIT is up 22% for bio-based specialties and performance chemicals. It is up 28% for portable spirits. It is up 28% for Nature Biopharma. And for a 9-month period, EBIT is up 7% for BSPC, 8% for PS, which is portable spirits, and up 27% for Nature Biopharma. Now, if you look at the PBIT or PBT, so PBT, however, is down by 65%, mainly because of the impact of transfer of the bio-based ethoxylates and select derivative business to the Clariant Ideal joint venture, which had led to an exceptional income from the stump sale. So that is the reason why the PBT is down. And also, we have an impact which has also been taken into account, which is a gain of 28 crore from the sale of Kashipur Infrastructure and State Terminal Private Limited, which was a non-core asset and has been dealt with. For the quarter, however, PAT is up 108% in Q3 to 50 crores. And in terms of other highlights, cost pressures in some ways have continued. So if you look at ethanol prices, which is our main feedstock, and most of it we were actually just even 1 year ago importing from the US or Brazil, continues to be at a high price. Those have not really come down. But what has happened is, if you remember, we have been talking about our grain-based ethanol plants being commissioned, which have been commissioned. They are being run up to capacity, which has significantly helped us mitigate the impact of huge feedstock price increases. Given this, we wanted to do it steadily. We are evaluating further expansion. And I think our objective is to become completely, if I may say, Atmanirbhar and not be dependent on imports of ethanol, which I think is going to secure our margin in many ways. Apart from that, we've been working on operational and efficiency improvements and improvement on costs. And there also has been a movement in energy prices, which has been softening, particularly coal prices. And as you know, there has been a significant reset on international freight. We expect that these trends will continue in the quarters to come. I have mentioned that the joint venture has had a tough quarter and 9 months, mainly because of the increased cost of feedstocks. And we've also executed, I can tell you, an agreement with Renew Green Private Limited in January 2023 to procure captive wind and solar hybrid power. Now, that will start coming to us in a period of 2 years, but not only will it deliver significant cost savings, but from a green energy perspective, and particularly from our strength, it will also help us strengthen our sustainability credentials. We've from time to time talked about our slow and steady movement towards more value-added products, and our first phase of expansion for new specialties is expected to commission between February and May, because it is two different units within the unit. And we hope to start building a new value-added specialty chemicals business starting in the coming financial year. To recap, I can say that, we were asked questions about the cost and the fact that we had pressures on cost. And I had kind of maintained that whilst we are going through very volatile and what appeared to be a completely unexpected challenging time from an ideal perspective, if you see, it was very difficult to imagine that ethanol prices, which were at 34, 35 rupees just about 1.5 years ago, are continuing to hover at 60 plus. And it was not easy for us because we compete with crude alternatives. And I think our strategy in terms of, I used to often articulate it in terms of 3x3, mitigating the risk in terms of our feedstocks, which is what we've done by installing significant grain-based capacity, and also our movement towards a better product mix. It appears, while slow and steady, but we are heading in the right direction, and we expect that will continue in the quarters to come. Now, with that, let me quickly give you some highlights for the business segment. So if you look at bio-based specialties and performance chemicals, for the quarter, EBIT is up by 22.3% compared to prior year, though there has been a significant drop in reported sales, and I had just explained the reason for that. On nine-month basis, EBIT is up 6.5%, though revenue is down by 17.6%, for the reasons that I mentioned, and also the factor that for one quarter, for the prior year in comparison, we also had the specialty sales which were transferred to the joint venture. And you know, we mentioned that we've discontinued low margin, high volume business, also helped by certain operational changes to scale down production to achieve the same. We managed to get some price increases to cover ethanol and conversion costs. You know, I talked about the in-house grain-based ethanol production, which is helping us improve margin, and the fact that we are looking at further expanding capacities. You know, bio-based MEG margins have improved, and the good thing is that despite such a delta, we've maintained our profits and for the bio-based MEG business. Our business in glycol ethers did not do as well, particularly in exports, because of the pressure that we faced due to the prices of butyl and propyl-based alternatives, whose prices came down quite sharply. You know, we hope and also expect that the, you know, position will steadily improve on this front as well. I spoke to you about the new specialties unit, and I think it's very important for us in the next few years to build the new value-added chemicals business. Now, talking about portable spirits, for the quarter, EBIT is up 28%, revenue up 7% compared to prior year. For 9 months, EBIT is up 8.2%, revenue up 11.3%. Sales have improved, particularly in the branded country liquor segment, and we continue to maintain a leadership position in Uttar Pradesh and Uttarakhand in this. Amazing Vodka is picking up market traction in states of UP, Uttarakhand and Delhi. And costs here as well, you know, partly because of grain-based ethanol that we're producing, is helping not only the chemicals business but also the portable spirits business, have been reduced, and packaging material costs have also been stabilizing. So that's also a positive, and we are hoping that that positive, if at all, will, you know, steadily improve in the subsequent quarters. We've had a good year for NHL Biopharma, with revenues up 27% and EBIT up 28% for the quarter, and revenue up 24% and EBIT up 27% for 9 months for the year so far. So we've increased domestic share for thiocolchicoside by acquiring orders from some major customers. We've made changes to the thiocolchicoside facility to reduce costs and increase output. In the pure nicotine segment, we've seen some demand slowdown, but we've been focusing on customers, particularly the ones which give higher value and pharma-grade nicotine derivatives. We continue to work on new products and new formulations and more value-added products in NHL Biopharma as well. So I have essentially completed. Again, to reiterate, I think broadly we are following our strategy of mitigating our cost risks on two fronts. On the feedstock front, on the cost and efficiency front, and also on taking steps to add more value-added products in a diverse portfolio, leveraging our strengths in terms of chemistry, product development, our strengths in ethanol EO, and also our credentials in sustainability. So with that, I'll take a pause, and I'll request my colleague Anand to give you a brief on financials.
Good afternoon. Just to cover briefly the performance for Q3 and for the 9 months, the revenue from operations net of excise in this current quarter is 554 vis-a-vis 795 crores in the last quarter. Oh, sorry, last year same quarter, corresponding quarter. The EBITDA for the current quarter is 76 crores vis-a-vis 62 crores in the last year same quarter. PBT is 53 crores in the current quarter vis-a-vis 31 crores, and profit after tax is 50 crores vis-a-vis 24 crores. So EPS for the current quarter is 16 rupees 20 paisa vis-a-vis 7 rupees 80 paisa in the last year corresponding quarter. To take up the 9 month financial performance, In 9 months, revenue from operations net of excise is 2032 crores vis-a-vis 2226 crores in the last year's 9 months. The EBITDA is 219 crores vis-a-vis 192 crores in the last year 9 months results, 9 months period. The PBT is 119 crores vis-a-vis 337 crores in the last year 9 months. As Rupak ji has just told that this includes the profitability out of the sale of the EOD business to Clariant, which is around 226 crores. And profit after tax is 101 crores vis-a-vis 273 crores in the last year 9 months. So the current 9 months EPS is 32 rupees 70 paisa for the 9 months vis-a-vis 84 rupees 80 paisa. So this is what is the brief result of the company. So now to broadly take care to brief about the segmental results. So net revenue in the chemical operations, bio-based specialties and performance chemicals. The third quarter performance for the net revenue is 324 crores with EBIT of 30 crores. With a percentage of margin is 9.2%, vis-a-vis 587 crores in the last quarter with EBIT of 24, showing percentage margin is 4.2%. So basically, in the current quarter, despite the revenue has come down, the percentage of the EBIT has gone up. For the 9 months, for the same division, the performance, the net revenue is 1,315 crores vis-a-vis EBIT of 82 crores with percentage margin is 6.3% vis-a-vis 1,597 crores in the last year 9 months with 77 crore EBIT showing a margin of 4.8%. So basically the overall for the 3 months and 9 months, the percentage of the profit has gone up. Regarding the portable spirits, the net revenue for the current quarter is 188 crores vis-a-vis 175 crores in the last year corresponding quarter, with EBIT of 28 crores in the current quarter vis-a-vis 22 crores in the last year corresponding quarter, showing percentage margin is 14.7% vis-a-vis 12.3% in the last year quarter. So again, the portable spirit has done good for the company. For the 9 months, portable spirits 568 crores turnover net revenue vis-a-vis 510 crores in the last year 9 months with EBIT of 72 crores vis-a-vis 67 crores, showing percentage margin is 12.8% vis-a-vis 13.1%. In respect of the NHR Biopharma, the herbal division, the net revenue is 42 crores vis-a-vis 33 crores in the current quarter, with EBIT of 10 crores vis-a-vis 8 crores in the last year corresponding quarter, showing in percentage margin of 24.8% vis-a-vis 24.6% in the last year corresponding quarter. The 9 month result for NHR Biopharma, the net revenue is 148 crores vis-a-vis 119 crores. EBIT is 37 crores vis-a-vis 29 crores, showing a percentage margin of 25.1% vis-a-vis 24.6%. So showing overall better performance vis-a-vis the corresponding quarter last year or the 9 months. So overall performance has gone up. Sir.
Thank you, Anandji. So we have completed our quick overview for the quarter and the year so far, happy to take your questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, am I audible?
Yes, Rohit.
Yeah. Thank you, sir, for taking my question, and congratulations for a good set of numbers. So first question from my side is that we permanently discontinued this low margin business, or is this for this quarter only, and maybe we'll see that number going forward also? And if you could also quantify how much was the impact of this on sales, or maybe another way, if we could get the Y and Y change excluding this low margin business.
Yeah, Rohit, so we could provide those numbers separately, but a significant amount of the decline that you see in sales is because of that. Now, I tried to explain it to you that when we run a continuous plant, they are designed for a minimum throughput rate, and they cannot be run at rates below that. And what happened in the last 1 or 2 years was that, you know, really if you go by market demand, let us say the plant has a capacity of 100, but it has a, you know, minimum throughput rate of say 60 for it to run optimally, or say 70. Now, therefore, for some time, we were kind of forced to run at 70, and even though we were producing, we had to sell, say, let us say MEG at relatively lower prices because we were producing it, you know, or sometimes at low margins, sometimes even at slightly negative margins. Now, because we've done modifications and we've done operational improvements and significant modifications in the plant, to be able to scale down the operation, I believe in the current context, you know, unless, you know, drastic changes happen in the marketplace, we've kind of done away with a significant part of this low margin business, or I would say very low margin business, for the times to come, and it's not only a one quarter phenomenon.
Okay, sir. And secondly, on the grain-based plant commissioned last quarter, last quarter also we didn't mention that how much was the contribution. So would it be possible in this quarter to quantify the how much benefit we get from this grain-based plant, especially on the margin front?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers calculated with me, but it is actually quite straightforward. So now the benefit may not have seen exactly in results, but if you look at the real benefit, you for yourself can check that the landed price of ethanol from the US here is of the order of 58 to 59 to 60 rupees a liter. Whereas the cost of production of our grain-based ethanol is closer to, you know, much lower. It's closer to 44, 45 rupees a liter. We would have been in an even more difficult soup had we not done that. So we can quantify that, but that does not necessarily translate into a complete, you know, profit gain, because there is already a challenging market even at 44 rupees competing with crude.
Okay.
And there is a combination of things, because it has helped us in potable spirits, it has helped us in chemicals, and some amount of it we have been also started to sell into the biofuel space. But our priority has been largely to meet the in-house requirement and not import. In fact, for quite some time, we've not been importing ethanol anymore.
Okay, great. And on JV side, last quarter also, there was a lower contribution from JV because of higher cost as well. In this quarter also, it has reported actually a loss. So is it only because of higher cost, or the sales have also been on the lower side? And any guidance we can get from the JV side for 23 or 24?
Yeah. So two or three things. One is that, yes, the end markets like textile auxiliaries, etc., have also been slow. Second thing is the biggest factor has actually been cost of EO, which is derived from ethanol, and obviously impacted by energy costs and freight costs, because, you know, significant part of at least going forward buildup was expected to be from export. So that has affected adversely. As far as I know, you know, I think being also on the board of the joint venture, I think there is definitely a discussion on how to consider lowering the feedstock costs, which are pegged at a particular value as a part of the contract, and also focus a little bit more on export. So we hope that, you know, as things stabilize and normalize, JV performance will also improve going forward.
Hmm.
So,
okay.
Maybe anything you would like to add or on this?
JV
no
value proposition.
I think that's fine.
One more question, if I can squeeze in, on the specialty chemical plant side, which is about to commission, I think in first quarter FY24. So initially we have indicated for close to 50 crore kind of capex in that business. So is has there been any increase in capex that side, or maybe you will see increase in capex or additional capex maybe after commissioning of that plant?
Yeah. So the capex is what we have told you. Look, we are a brownfield site. Okay. So we have significant assets and utilities, etc., which are already available. You know, whether it is cooling water, whether it is electricity, whether it is steam, whether it is warehouses, whether it is maintenance staff, or whether so. I think this was a capex which we have for now. Our idea is to first build this business over the next 6 months, 1 year, because it is not an ethanol business or a commodity business. It is a business which you start to build after you start to manufacture. You sample it to customers, you get approvals, and then you start. So no future capex planned in immediate future, but depends on how the business will grow. We'll, you know, based on that growth, we'll definitely support this business.
Rohit, just to correct,
yeah,
the actual capex value for this specialized chemical, which we say NSU, is around 82 crores, not 50 crores.
Okay, okay. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side. I'll come back in queue. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rohit.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Bala Subramaniam from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Good evening, sir. Thank you so much for taking my question. Sir, in the JV agreement, out of 190 crore, around 40 crores are expected in H2 FY23. So when will we can expect to receive in that amount?
As per the agreement, JV has to give us this money in 3 years. So till now, they have already paid 55 crores to India Glycol. And the balance amount will come back as per the agreement.
Okay, sir. Sir, my second question regarding that capex part, we are evaluating for capex. So it comes under PLI, like if you could throw more light on what kind of plans we have in terms of capex for the medium term.
Your question is not clear.
Also, like, what kind of capex plans we have for grain plants next over 2 or 3 years? Because we are evaluating.
Just to update that we have recently completed two grain plants. One is in Kashipur, which is 180 KLPD. The other one is in Gorakhpur, which is 110 KLPD. So now we are exploring to increase the capacity in Kashipur plant from 180 to 360 KLPD, keeping in mind the benefit which company has got in the current quarter. Regarding the Gorakhpur, the capex for 110 KLPD is already completed, and we are not rather going for any increase immediately. That may happen sometimes later, but not now. So we are increasing our capacity in Kashipur plant for grain distillery manufacturing.
Okay. Sir, we are executed agreement for wind and solar and hybrid power. So like what kind of cost savings can we expect that?
I can give you a ballpark number. But, you know, it's a good payback. I think the investment is possibly, we have indicated what the investment is?
The investment would be
roughly around 20 crore.
The investment is possibly around 20 crore. We expect the payback time to be under 3 years.
Okay, sir. Okay, got it, sir. I'll come back in.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Nitin Awasthi from InCred Equities. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. A few questions on the liquidity. Where is the ENA sales? Does the company do any ENA sales and bioethanol sales?
Yes, we do a significant amount of ENA sales. Probably, if I'm not wrong, we close to 100 crores of ENA sales.
Yeah.
120 crores.
So, your ENA sales is a part of the potable spirits or is it part of the bio-based specialties?
It's a part of the BSPC segment.
This is part of chemical division, bio-based.
Because this is B2B. And this is not a retail product, na? This is a high concentration.
Okay, so you are selling ENA, which is under the bio-based specialty division, which is about 120 crores for this quarter. How much is your bio-ethanol sale?
This is a yearly sale.
Okay, yearly sales. Okay. Got it. And your bio-ethanol sales to fuel companies, which segment is that under and how much was it for the quarter and for the 9 months?
See, so far what has happened is, you know, original intent of the grain-based plant was that the grain-based plant, we had estimated a significant part of that will go to biofuels and some of it will get used for potable spirits and chemicals. But given the very wide gap in terms of imported ethanol as a raw material, you know, we have actually consumed most of our grain-based ethanol production or even molecular-based ethanol production in-house. We've been making right now, you know, small sales into the biofuel space, which is of the order of roughly like 15 lakh liters a month ever since we commissioned our grain-based plant. As we expand our capacities, we hope that that will increase. You know, if our international imported prices of ethanol come down to pre-COVID levels, you know, then of course we'll be able to sell quite a lot. It's very difficult for me to give some kind of outlook. It's so dependent on so many factors.
I understand there is dynamic and it's based on the import prices of ethanol, because if that becomes more profitable for you, you will rather sell this to the UNC. I understand that part. Now, so coming to the ENA prices, what are the ENA prices prevailing in UP and what are the ENA prices prevailing in Uttarakhand as of now?
See, this is very, I honestly don't know the precise ENA number, you know, but we make some decent margin on ENA. It's not very high, but we make a decent margin there. I don't know exactly what the ENA price is in UP and Uttarakhand.
Okay. And sir,
our price is also very customer to customer. So.
No, I agree. It's a B2B agreement with the customer base, but there would be a rough ballpark figure which should be trading at, right?
You know, I don't have the ready numbers with me. As far as industry prevailing trends are concerned, you can get it from the internet also.
Otherwise, you can send me the mail, I will give you the
mail. We will respond to you.
Okay, got it. So similarly for the rice prices, I believe the industry, even the domestic ethanol industry and the ENA industry was suffering because of high rice prices. And there seems to be some inflow from the Rabi season which is starting to come in. So could you throw some light on that? What were the rice prices roughly we were dealing with and what are they right now?
Rice.
I will give you a broader answer without giving rice prices. I think rice prices vary a little bit, but it is still a profitable business for us to invest. You know, I don't think the broader strategy as far as investment in grain is concerned is getting impacted.
Okay, and because all these information was actually given very nicely in your previous presentation, where you had coal, ethanol, mild steel, and your acetic acid prices, and you had given a quarterly representation of the same. I would just make a humble suggestion, if you could go back to that, then these questions would become unnecessary and we would actually get a lot of trend analysis from that.
No, I can provide that to you, that we have even now available with us.
Acha, so similarly you have for the coal prices?
Yeah, we have those. We will I have just not put that slide. We can you can write it to us, we can circulate that slide.
Okay, great. That's also all from my side.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Sanjesh Jain from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
A few questions from my side. First, just wanted to understand, I thought there's a very high correlation between the crude price and the ethanol prices. But this time around, there's quite a disconnect. Can you help us understand what is driving ethanol prices? That's number one. Number two, some of this discontinuation of the product is also of the result that the crude alternative have become so cheap that it's unprofitable for us to even think about it. That's my second question, something like MEG, as you rightly mentioned. That's number two. Number three, is there also an impact from the demand side, because some of these polymer prices which are falling, so a lot of polymer guys have been, they are destocking so that they don't carry a high cost inventory. Is there a postponement of the buying as well in this chemical segment? So these are my three initial questions.
So let me try and answer your second question first, which is, you know, whether crude-based prices of things like MEG have impacted some of our products like MEG, the short answer is yes. Now, if you go back many, many years ago, the competitive advantage for this business was to produce low-cost MEG using low-cost bio-based feedstock like molasses.
Correct.
Now, over a period of time, the world has seen value in molasses, and obviously, as there is greater requirement for ethanol, molasses has a price and it is a significant price, and therefore now we are no more in a business where we are competing with crude on a cost or price basis. But also what has happened is, yes, crude prices has gone down, but more importantly, MEG prices have gone down and they did not go up when crude prices went up. And this is because significant capacities have been added worldwide, you know, pre-COVID, COVID times, etc. So despite the crude prices going up, where MEG sees a correlation, it did not go up. In fact, it came down. You know, with the China slowdown, there is obviously, you know, as you know, pushing of material to other parts of the world to continue to run their plants. So they did not take that corrective action. We took some corrective action to stop bleeding or to stop supplying material in low cost. So that is as far as the crude correlation is concerned. Then your first question was on ethanol, that ethanol doesn't seem to be following crude. Now there was one time when ethanol was not connected to crude at all. Then ethanol started to get clubbed with crude because, you know, it's a source of energy. And then you're saying it's not even falling with crude. Now there are several factors. In one of the previous presentations I had kind of presented, and because it would have been a bit of a repeat, I did not do that. So once in maybe 6 months I'll give an update on ethanol and what's happening in the ethanol space. Now, not only is there a requirement of bio-based ethanol because it is a green fuel, you know, the world is working and there is a dynamic around energy security in the world, as you know.
Correct.
You know, Europe takes a lot of energy, crude, gas from Russia. So the world is kind of scampering to not only reduce cost by buying cheaper crude, but also become more secure. So I think that is one factor which has, you know, continued to sustain high ethanol prices. The second factor is that, you know, in some cases, if you go back, there has been an impact in terms of the green energy transition, where a number of countries, you know, Brazil, France, and many others, Europe, they had made significant plans and they were based significant on hydro, wind, etc. I think that generation was also impacted. There were also impact on say the corn crop, etc. in the US. And if you see another factor which has impacted is that Ukraine is also a big producer of grain for the world. And that is affected. So all these factors, and I think it is very difficult to, you know it better than I do, have kind of created a sentiment which has sustained high ethanol prices. And whether it will continue for a long time, probably for some more time, I think at some point in time, eventually it is going to be some amount of recoupling back to energy, which is things like crude. That's my assessment. I'm not saying it is right, unless some of my colleagues have something more to add. And the one thing that I've run, Sanjay, is that, you know, no matter how confidently I can articulate a point of view, you know, second day and forget about 3 months, in 15 days, you could be proven completely wrong.
No, I agree. No, I'm just taking because you would be in a much better position to assess this versus us.
You know, so for example, the freight prices, if you have been tracking freight prices, which went up for some routes, you know, 5 times, 6 times, unthinkable. And if you track some of the profitability of these big shipping companies, and then they are nearly back to, not exactly there, but they have kind of dropped again 3 to 4 times in many areas, which is good for us. I think because even though it does not increase our variable cost in the sense of raw materials, but our end cost to customers for exports were also getting impacted because of that.
Correct.
So I had not even predicted that fall in my mind. Certainly not that rapidly.
Got it. Just one follow-up here. In such a scenario, is it fair for us to not use ethanol for the blending purpose and use it more internally? So at least we can protect the business, right?
So that's what we are doing, Sanjay. That's what I said, that supposing, you know, ethanol prices were to come back to 35 levels, which it was 1.5, 2 years ago, I think it's great for us because we start importing ethanol completely for chemicals. You know, if you remember, I continue to say 3x3, and all the ethanol that we're producing grain-based start to go for biofuels, all of that can be sold.
Yes, correct.
But is it allowed for us to dynamically switch between the blending and for the internal purpose? I'm just trying to understand the government policy. Are we have not availed for the subsidy at all, so we can do the allocation as per our requirement?
You are right.
How should one
Andy, you can.
We have not availed the subvention.
Okay.
And so that's why we are not committed for 75% of the production for blending.
Okay. That gives us a complete freedom on the allocation of the...
Yeah, we have complete freedom.
Got it. One follow-up question on the NSU. We did mention that we are investing 82 crores there. What will be the potential asset turn and the product portfolio?
Sanjay, we need to get back. It's not ready top of the mind. What product portfolio do you want to know?
In the NSU, what are the products we are initially aiming at?
Yes. So, you know, we have spoken about it before, and if required, maybe in another next quarter, we can spend some more time on that. So we have identified several product ranges, which includes some ethoxylate, particularly carbon smart ethoxylate, some products for the oil field segment, where we are already in the process of signing some contracts with certain global players. We are looking at some bio-EO-based amines. We are looking at some esters like plasticizers and also similar products which go into cosmetics. So, you know, we are looking at some green solvents. So this is the broad portfolio. And as you know, specialties is something which we will kind of build brick by brick. It's not like an ethanol plant that we have the capacity and we start selling. You know, we'll start sampling and building the business.
Fair enough, sir. Fair enough. One last on the portable side. Are we getting the pass-through for the high ethanol prices in our key market? Where are we in that entire process?
So, Sanjeev, this is Deepak here. We have got a kind of a price rise when it comes to the country liquor thing. In Uttarakhand, the prices have the policy is yet to come out.
and same is the case with the Delhi market. So the price rise is there in the UP market. That's a good news for us in the portable side.
I thought Delhi market was okay. That's where the hampering is. So when are we anticipating Delhi thing to come?
So right now, as per the representation made by CIABC to the Delhi government, the policy is expected anytime in the month of April.
Got it. That's it from my side. Thank you, gentlemen, for answering all my questions and best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Jay Bharat Trivedi from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah, please.
Sir, just wanted to know on the e-nature biopharma business segment, is there any seasonality in that business or is it weak in Q3 and Q4? Because even last year, the sales dipped during the second half of the year, and even the same trend is seen in current quarter as well as compared to last quarter.
So I don't think there is much of seasonality, but there has been some kind of business dynamics which I can talk about. I think one is that last year we were impacted by some regulation and duty related and subsidy related changes in some of the markets on Thiocolchico side. That is one factor. The second thing is that then Thiocolchico side was a major product, but somewhere around last year there has been a significant ramping up of nicotine for therapeutic purposes also. So it is this kind of combination and shift of product portfolios and some of the market dynamics. You know, for things like muscle relaxants, there is not much of seasonality. Thiocolchico side, just to let you know, is actually something that goes into muscle relaxants. And nicotine that we manufacture is for, again, therapeutic use. So from an end market perspective, it's not seasonality, but there are dynamics, you know, based on what's happening in the COVID environment, what's happening in Turkey, their economic situation, so some of the subsidies were kind of restructured. So those kind of dynamics, it's not seasonality.
Okay, so any specific reason in current quarter? Hello?
What is the specific reason you're asking for?
Sir, any specific reason because of which our quarterly sales were down in the e-nature biopharma business?
Yeah, so with some customers, you know, we had, these are regular things like contracts and price negotiations, particularly for nicotine. Some of those contracts have been slower to come through, or actually some have actually also gone by. We let that business go.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, and that's it from my side, and all the very best.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Saket Kapoor from Kapoor Co. Please go ahead. Saket, please go ahead with the question. Mr. Saket, please go ahead with the question. If you have muted from your line, please unmute it.
Yeah, sir. Namaskar, sir.
Hello. Namaskar,
sir. Yes, sir. Sir, firstly, sir, I missed the capex number. How much have we spent for the 9 months, and what are we going to spend for FY23 and 24 in totality?
Yes, sir. So now, Saket, for the capexes, which I have already explained, the total capex which we are in the process is about 600 crores. Out of 242 crores, capexes has been completed, and about 350 crores capexes is in pipeline. These capexes include the boiler and the turbine, which is related to the grain distillery, NSU, and the boiler and turbine plus Tetra Pak machine in Gorakhpur, and there is some expansion in nicotine project at Dehradun. So all the three plants are having some capexes,
and about, I'll say, 400 crore capexes are in pipeline, CWIP.
Sir, in the presentation, it was mentioned that we are done with the distillery capex. So this is further capacity augmentation that we are going through?
Actually, distillery has three parts. One was the grain distillery, the other one is boiler, the third one is turbine. So distillery has been commissioned, but related to that, boiler and turbine is still in process. For Kashipur, the same thing is for Gorakhpur also.
So I can just add to that, Saket, you know what happens is, as you know, we are quite an integrated site. So you may ask that if it is part of a distillery, why have you not commissioned it and commissioned the distillery? It's for a simple thing that given our volumes and other things, we had adequate capacity for steam and power in our existing infrastructure, so we could defer the spend.
Okay, so going ahead with these commissioning, sir, what kind of margin accretion will take place? And currently, sir, the distillery is contributing to the top line and bottom line for this quarter at optimum level.
Your question is whether we can do better. The answer is yes. So as I said, we are doing two things. We believe that we could possibly add more capacities at relatively lower incremental cost, which is something that we are evaluating. As soon as that is something which is decided and, you know, very clearly being executed, we will inform you. So that's as far as that is concerned. You had another part to that question which I kind of missed.
Sir, I was just trying to understand that when these two part of boiler and turbines are not integrated, whether the purpose of grain distillery is serving the purpose of top line and bottom line or not. Since
of
these
course.
Two,
I do not know what you meant by they are not integrated. It only means why do we need a boiler? We need a boiler because we need steam, and we need a turbine because we need power. Now, if we can integrate it into our existing equipment and setups, because, you know, there was less load or there was adequate capacity, we could defer it. That is one. And then you're saying whether it's contributing to a bottom line and top line. I think so far it has contributed more to the bottom line because we kind of replaced expensive imported ethanol. But going forward, it will definitely contribute to the bottom line, but how much it will contribute to the top line depends on several factors. Cost of imported ethanol, and as we add more and more capacities, everything that we produce in more than what we required in-house will be sold in biofuels. So that top line is very difficult to kind of project, but any capacities we add is definitely going to contribute to the bottom line.
Right. Two small questions. Firstly, on the cost of fund and the net debt number, and then one question on Nature Pharma.
Cost of finance has gone up slightly because of the increase in the term interest rates by all the banks. Although we are closely monitoring and checking the same, but yes, I will say the cost of funds has gone up.
What
regarding the term loan number,
what is the cost of fund in percentage terms, sir, currently?
Average cost has reached to say about 9.1% right now, which includes the term loan as well as the working capital.
Right. And net debt number.
Regarding the debt, we are hopeful that the debt including the EPBG as on 31st March 23 will be about 800 crores plus working capital.
The figure come again?
800 crores term loan and EPBG as on 31st March 23. Plus working capital, fund base is 350 crores and non-fund base is 850 crores.
Okay. This 800 includes the long-term borrowing also?
This is only for the long-term borrowing and EPBG.
EPBG, yeah. And sir, now coming to the N-Mature Pharma segment, sir. What is the potential from this segment that we are looking forward, say, two to three years down the line? And what kind of steps are we taking to explore the opportunities from the segment, as the margins are significantly higher, sir?
Yeah, so we are taking a few steps. First of all, look, when you have an exciting market like this, many people enter that market, you have to continue to deal with competition. The steps we are taking is that we are firstly diversifying our portfolio. The first step was to move from thiocolchicoside to nicotine for therapeutic use and some other products as well. The other step that we are taking is for sales into, say, European or more developed markets. There is a long process of getting approvals, meeting certain standard requirements. So those are things that we are doing so that we can sell to more higher value added markets. So steps, you know, access to the developed markets by getting regulation standards, etc. Broadening our portfolio in terms of plant-based extract, and also looking at some more value-added formulations and products.
So then how should one look at this segment? I mean, last year we did a top line of 156. This year we are already 9 months closer to 148. And just to understand the size of the addressable market going ahead, what can we look forward? And that is what the idea is. And other than that, sir, other facilities, what is the current utilization level? Sir, you did spoke about some lowering of demand in this segment and we switching from the low margin products. So what are we emphasizing in the current quarter in terms of the demand outlook, sir? If you could throw some more light on...
You're talking about what?
NHR Biopharma? NHR, sir, first, NHR Biopharma, I want to understand the opportunity, the addressable market, and how, what are we eyeing in terms of the growth in terms of revenue and profitability. And then secondly, coming to the other business vertical, where you mentioned about that there is softening of demand because of the external factors, how is the current market shaping up? And these were the points.
So I think there are several things which have got mixed up. One is NHR Biopharma. You can see how the, you know, growth is for this year. I think those trends we expect to continue. As far as market size is concerned, you know, the plant extract market is so complex and it has so many areas. I don't have ready numbers. What I can say is market size, what is our market that we are participating in and so on. But it's overall a significant market and a growing market because there is greater and greater preference for people at the right price points, of course, to have more nature-based ingredients, you know, and there is, so that's one. The second thing is, as far as softening of demand is concerned, I think more of that, my comment in particular was with respect to the JV performance.
Okay, sir. And sir, this JV is currently, this Clarion is currently the same Hubap India Limited, or is it a different entity? The Clarion Chemical and is, I think, so renamed as Hubap India. So is the same listed entity or different pair?
No, look, I think Clarient had, first of all, two different entities in India. Second thing is, I am not completely aware, but one of their businesses, I think Masterbatch or something.
This is non-listed. This is non-listed.
One of the Masterbatch or pigment business was acquired by Heubach. This is not that business. This is the consumer and specialties business, which is with Clarient. It has got nothing to do with Heubach.
And then taking into account the current business sentiment, how is the current quarter shaping up? I think so the inflationary trends have receded considerably. So the type of margin expansion which we have seen Q1Q, so those factors would be aiding to the margins going ahead. Is there a likelihood of improvement?
So you can expect, you know, it's been, I would not like to give a forecast or prediction, but I think I had already mentioned it that some of these gains, which are because of cost reductions on account of feedstock, operational improvements and softening of feedstock, as you can yourself see, are expected to continue in this quarter as well, in the coming quarter. And the other factor which will kick in a few months later is that I think we hope that we are evaluating, as I said, putting up more grain-based facilities, which will be, if we do it and if our calculations are right, which will be another bit of a step up, say, in, you know, 5 or 6 months or 2 quarters down the line.
Correct. And non-core assets, are we done with the same or anything more in the Alving, or what are the other non-core assets on block?
We have one company called Shakyamuni Sugar. So That is also in process, but nothing yet has been finalized. While KIFPPL, you are already aware that we are done with that.
Correct. And this quarter also, sir, we did and we did reverse some ICD also for Shakumbhri Sugar. So going ahead, any further demutation is required, or we are done with this entity?
We are done with the whatever is the shortfall, and we don't see any further write-off out of the Shakumbhri exposure.
Thank you. Thank you, sir, and hope for better times ahead. Thank you.
Rakesh, you owe me a treat for asking so many questions.
Yes, sir. Come again, sir.
I said you owe me a treat for asking so many questions.
Okay, sir. Down at the hills.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Our next question comes from the line of Rohit Sinha from Sunidhi Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so just one thing on this nutrition business side. Since we have good exposure in Turkey, so any update we should get considering the devastating earthquake there? How
I think Rohit, they are still pulling out bodies. Yeah, matlab, I am sure. I am on a lighter note. It is something that goes into pharmaceutical applications, and the reason we see it in Turkey is because Turkey is also seen as, for some of the categories, as a gateway to Europe. Okay, so I would imagine there may be some disruption, depends on how it impacts Turkey economy, but it's not only about Turkey, even though it may be in Turkey. Some of it is there. Too early for me to comment what will be the impact. I don't see an immediate and significant impact happening in the quarter.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Now you also owe me a treat, Rohit. You've asked many questions.
Anytime, sir.
Rohit, anytime. Whenever you are coming, we'll meet here.
Sure, sir.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for the day. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing remarks.
So thank you, gentlemen, for, patiently listening to our answers and asking your questions, spending the time. Have a good day and a good year ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.